His name was Rico. He wore a diamond. He was escorted to his chair. He saw Lola dancing there, and when she finished, he called her over. But Rico went a bit too far. Tony sailed across the bar, and then the punches flew, and chairs were smashed in two. There was blood and a single gunshot. But
like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Item number 2023-1792, time limit for public input. Everybody gets to speak one time for 4 minutes on agenda item, per agenda. Motion to approve.
Now, I don't want to ruin this in advance, but I'll tell you, this is a lower level drama moment in the history of the city of Milton. As an episode goes, this is sort of a bridge episode.
Dude, this is a Friday. This is supposed to be like
like the best. I understand. But okay, so this is City Councilman Jeff Snow, and this is not at the regular meeting, but this was at the warm up meeting, the executive committee meeting. And the agenda item, in case you didn't catch it, was speaker time limits. Which, if you know anything about the City of Milton council meetings, you know that it's a, what's the word I want? Free-for-all. And part of the free-for-all is as a result of the structure of the meeting, which is to say there's no structure to the meeting. You have an agenda, and see, the way this works, like in Pensacola, the way this works at the county commission and in both Escambia and Santa Rosa is, and each one is just a little bit different, okay, but the general principle is, you have an open forum portion where people can come up and speak on anything they want to speak about. And they typically get, depending on the venue, they get 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, and then that's done. Now, historically, there was this, you know, you could donate your time to other people, most notably in the Escambia County Commission meetings when the beach ladies would get up and protest about the misunderstood idea that somehow we were going to be privatizing the beaches or whatever, and they would donate all their time, often to Diane Crummell at the time. And so, you know, she'd get up there and speak for 15 minutes, and those of us who were watching the meeting would sit at home and wail and gnash our teeth that we had to listen for 15 minutes to one speaker go on and 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 on about something. And then they change that, and they stop allowing donated time. I think the Escambia Public Schools, they still allow donated time. Santa Rosa Commission does not allow donated time. Most of the local governing bodies have gone away from the donated time concept, which, by the way, donated time in and of itself could make sense, because you say you got three people, only one of whom is passionate and articulate, the other two hate to speak in public. They all want their opinion expressed. They come together. They let one person do their speaking for them. I see the sense of it. It just winds up being this sort of absurd, beastly one person going on and on and on about stuff. Anyway, so backdrop there is that typically you get one chance to speak in the public forum. Then, during the meeting on agenda items, you get another chance to speak just on that item. Sometimes you are only allowed to speak on non-agenda items in the public forum. That's the rule at the city council in Pensacola. It's the rule at the Escambia County Commission. In Santa Rosa, you pick your spot. If you want to speak on the agenda, you can do it in the public forum, but you can't do it again on the agenda item. If you want to get your speaking out and then go home, you can do that. Okay, that's all just backdrop. In Milton, the rule is no rules. That's right. You know, 5 men enter, all people leave, mostly. So what happens is somebody will get up and speak, and then, you know, council will talk, or maybe another couple of people will get up and speak, and that person will get up again to speak. And then they'll get up again to speak, and then council will talk, and then they'll raise an objection. They'll get up again to speak. Like, they're part of the council, which there's a certain kind of, I don't know, rural charm to it, because it's sort of like the public is a part of the meeting and there's an equality involved, and there's something, I mean, there is, there's something, if it would work well, there's something nice about it, but it doesn't work well. And so what you get instead is, you know, the Pitchfork Posse abuses this terribly, and it's this just repeated cycle of re-aired grievances. And so Jeff Snow kind of got his finger around this problem, and he said, you know what we need to do is, let's just put in some speaker rules. Let's make it 4 minutes for, and they might have a 4 minute time limit, but it's very loosely enforced, and I don't think there's a time limit historically anyway. So he says, let's give everybody a 4 minute time limit. 4 minutes in forum, and then 4 minutes on the agenda item when it comes up, sort of like the Santa Rosa County Commission does. And Mayor Heather Lindsay says, well, you know, there was an idea brought up by Howard Steele at a recent meeting where...
I'd just like to add to you guys a thought process based on what Mr. Steele's feedback was. Do you want to consider doing something like they have 3 minutes to speak and they can reserve a 1 minute rebuttal? Let's say they hear something else. And they're like, oh, I wish I had said that. I wish I had spoken to that point. So that might be an alternative, which I'll be glad to try to administer that for members who are worried that y'all might say something in the course of discussion that they wished they had had a chance to speak to.
You know, so give them a reserve for rebuttal. You know, like, we're going to get 4 minutes. Let's go two now and or three now, and we get a minute later if we want to bring it up. A little bit challenging on the record-keeping side. Not that bad. Probably manageable. A little bit difficult. But also, you know, sometimes what'll happen is the public has their say about what the item is, and then the council might amend the item. You know, they might change the item, and it might be that the people in the public want to comment on the change, you know, on the amendment, on the whatever. And if you, not to get too deep in the weeds here, but if you go to Tallahassee, there's public comment at every stage here. So now you might be limited on time, but if there's an amendment, people can speak on the amendment. If there's then a revised bill, people can speak on the revised bill. So that's the way they do it in Tallahassee, is you get to speak kind of at every stage of the process. Here, the idea was, well, what do we do? And so there was going to be this 4 minutes with 1 minute reserve kind of possibility. Jeff Snow says,
I don't know, just a thought.
I don't have a problem with that, as long as we're still sticking to an overall time limit, I think, as long as it's fair to everybody.
Yeah, and generally, the rest of the council seemed okay with this. Gavin Hawthorne.
Yeah, Howard Steele brought it up last meeting. Yeah. He was concerned that he said, if, you know, if there was new information that was brought up, how can you know, someone come back to the podium with a rebuttal?
Exactly. Thanks, Mr. Hawthorne, for remembering that. And I just wanted to respect Mr. Steele's feedback.
Yeah, and of course... You know, Howard Steele and Heather Lindsay have very much not got along a lot recently, so it's kind of a nice little moment of, you know, collaboration there. So that was what it was going to be. Then they go forward to the regular city council meeting, and again, there's a certain group of people that are very, very much abusers of the public speaking opportunity, and I think this is a move to try to just get a little bit of that under control. Not really not prohibit it, but just kind of put it back within the corral, so to speak, I think was kind of the goal here. So at the actual city council meeting, Jeff Snow says,
I agree with it and understand it in theory, but I think it would cause another burden on our staff trying to keep up with, especially on busy items of who spoke 3 minutes, who didn't. I think I'd like to go to the 4 minutes and leave it at 4 minutes per agenda item, and if we need to review it later and make an adjustment, we can, if there's an issue that we see that's fallen through. But I'd like to amend this to 4 minutes per agenda item, and I'll put that in the form of a motion.
So getting rid of the rebuttal time concept, people on open forum get 4 minutes and each person, and then on the agenda, each person gets 4 minutes just on that item only, and that's it, no rebuttals, and that's what they wound up passing. So good for them. I don't know how much this is going to help, but I think it's better. I think it's better than the kind of never-ending parade of returning participants. So we'll see. You know, will that bring a little bit more order to the city council? I don't know, but, you know, a boy can hope. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And if you are thinking about buying or selling a home and you want a great piece of advice, or you just want to get some ideas and bounce them off somebody who you know is going to tell you what they really think, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. I know she's talked people out of buying a home. Honestly, I know there was one particular case. She told me there was an elderly lady who was thinking about moving because she was frustrated with some things. And she got to talking to her and realized, you know, you're going to be happier staying where you are. What you think is going to get solved by moving isn't going to get solved. And you've been in this house for a long time. And I know she's done that in other cases because it's weird. You know, you don't think a real estate agent is going to talk somebody out of a home, out of a sale, right? But she wants to help people. She wants people to be happy, to get what they want out of life. And so she'll tell you what her honest opinion is. You know, now is not the right time to move. Or now, no, now absolutely is the right time to move. So if you want good, honest advice, somebody who cares and really has your best interest at heart, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is what I call a target-rich environment.
Human beings in a mire. What's a mire to a king? What's a king to a guy? What's a guy to a who don't believe in anything.
All right, Candy, I'm going to an art exhibit. You want to go with me? Going to an art show at the museum?
Yes, absolutely. I like art.
It's a bit avant-garde.
Cool. Totally myself.
There's bones.
I feel like this is leading
skeletons.
Somewhere.
There's, okay. There's nudity. A little bit of nudity.
I'm in.
Okay. You still good?
So far.
All right. To get into the exhibit, you have to go through a kind of an archway in the front.
Okay.
On the left side of the archway is a guy, and on the right side of the archway is a woman. And you've got, and it's kind of narrow. Okay. So you've got to kind of
scoot around them,
rub past them a little bit. You know, right. Like it's kind of pretty tight. Okay. You're gonna touch them on the way through. That's how you get into the exhibit. Are you still good?
Because you have to roll through two people.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Guess
they're naked.
No, I'm not good. Nope, and I'm out. Do I know them?
No,
it depends
not,
on it. Like, if it was John Hutchinson, I'd be like, yes,
if it's the right people, yes. We'll take it.
Depends.
Yeah, so no, this is a real thing. There's an art exhibit by Marina Abramovich in I think this was in England. Is that where I saw this? I know the story was I was covering it from the UK. Yeah, visitors to a new Royal Academy exhibition must squeeze between two nude models to enter it. Here, I'm going to show you the picture just so you can react. That's kind of how that's...
Oh, huh.
Yeah. Oh, huh. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, they're both attractive. I actually bet people would line up to do it.
Well,
not this person, but...
It does seem to me that the people who are going to be there for the art... may or may not want to do this. The people who want to do this are not there for the art.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
You're going to want to run their credit before they walk in to see if they can buy anything, because chances are they're just going to be, you know, lewd.
There is a and maybe this is unfortunate phraseology, a backdoor bypass.
Oh.
So you can go around the obstruction, let's just say. But, you know, that's as... You know, one critic said, well, that's cheating. This person says, the Times of London, Laura Freeman says, I squeezed through, sucking in my stomach, trying not to tread on anybody's toes or brush against anything. So, you know.
I ain't that thin. I don't think I could squeeze through that.
Yeah, so. I don't know what kind of accommodations they have for, you know, people who
need
accommodations.
Right, yeah.
Right? I looked at
have to go up against the wall.
In the exhibit itself, I don't know that I wouldn't go through the front door in this case. Definitely not. No. That seems like the kind of thing that's going to be a picture that, you know, somebody might use on their blog somewhere, and I just don't want that to exist. I didn't think all the exhibits were all that interesting, although I did kind of like the one you have models of various sizes on their backs with no clothes on, but then they have a skeleton of a similar size resting
right there
on their fronts, like laying on them to show you, you know, person and skeleton, like sort of side by side on top, which is kind of an interesting concept.
No, that absolutely is.
You know, beyond that, I don't need to see a big old pile of bones, you know, some of the other things that are in the exhibit. And again, I just don't think that brushing up on next to the you know, the naked people without my PPD supplied raincoat is probably
the way. To be fair, though, those two that you showed me were hot. I don't think that people would mind.
Don't you think that would be a little bit of a problem once in a while?
Yes, I think it's a whole problem all the way through. But I'm just saying, you know, I don't think people would mind. But yeah.
So there you go. The world of art, you know, fascinating place.
Yeah, come on, Pensacola, get in line.
I will say that it does sort of. What I like about it, not that I would do it, but what I like about it is it does sort of makes you think about, well, why does that bother me? Or why would I do that? Or why wouldn't I do that? And what is my attitude towards other people and their bodies and strangers and all that? Because, you know, if you're in a locker room of same gender, it's one thing. If you're mixed gender, it's a different, you know, so I don't know. It does make you think, which is kind of what art is supposed to do. So I appreciate that. But no, I don't need to rub past the
naked
people.
Us never dudes do not like that.
Yeah. Very good. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. I won't ask. Go ahead, David.
New details coming out about a massive data breach at the University of Minnesota. Last month, the university announced they were investigating claims that a hacker had accessed information on students and employees in 2021. University confirming now that personal information dating as far back as 1989 was compromised.
Yeah.
We learned this week about President Biden's new Office of Gun Violence. The president set to introduce this office officially at a Rose Garden event today. Vice President Harris apparently will be leading it. Its duties include coordinating efforts to reduce shooting injuries and death.
Is the official name the Office of Gun Violence?
It is.
Or the Office of Gun Violence Prevention? Because they seem to be names aimed in the opposite direction.
Well, what I have says the Office of Gun Violence, but maybe they just omitted the word.
I think it's the Office of Gun Violence Prevention, because otherwise it seems like, all right, we're here to figure out how to do this better. You know, like, it's not really the right name for the thing. Go ahead, David.
Elton John's condo in Atlanta is now up for sale if you're looking for a second property, I suppose. The Goodbye Yellow Brick Road singer just wrapped up his farewell tour. He's now getting rid of his 13,000 square foot apartment on the 36th floor of an Atlanta high rise. It's listed for just under $5 million, just pocket change.
For an apartment?
For an
you know what I mean?
Apartment.
You still have to share a wall with somebody and a vending machine for $5 million.
Honestly, I'm not really sure I'd want to go to Atlanta no matter what I
have. Oh, yeah, well, there's that.
Have you ever been to Atlanta?
No.
It's great.
Oh,
it's fabulous.
Being there is fine. Getting there, that's the problem.
Aha.
Yeah, that's true.
The commute.
Yeah,
is
see,
the
I've
issue.
Only been through. That's why I'm a little jaded.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Atlanta's right. Amazing.
No, Atlanta's fantastic.
And it is $5 million.
As long as you
cool.
don't have to drive anywhere near it.
Right.
That's
as long as deal. You don't have to drive in it.
Oh, my God. And that traffic road is, by the way, I mean, that's like, even when you're on the outskirts, it's the traffic will back up like from the expressway onto the access ramp, onto the artery, onto the, you know, onto the side street, into the parking lot of the Chick-fil-A that you're driving out of. Like, it's like that.
I know, but they have a varsity. It's this hot dog place. You'd love it.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. It's been a week since United Auto workers went on strike at three plants in Michigan, Ohio, and Missouri. More may walk off the job today.
United Auto Workers President Sean Fain is expected to make an announcement unveiling additional strike targets, with the workers set to walk out starting at noon Eastern time. But he said that could be prevented if the auto companies make serious progress in contract talks.
Fox's Sean Langell. At least five of the dozens of high school students hurt in a charter bus accident in Orange County, New York, are in critical condition. Two adults died.
At this time, preliminary information indicates a failure of a front tire may have been a contributing factor to this accident.
New York State Police Lieutenant Colonel Richard Mazzone. The bus was one of six taking kids from Long Island, New York, to a band camp event in Pennsylvania. It went down a 50-foot ravine after the driver lost control. The band director and a retired teacher on the bus were killed. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It's 71. Looks like a beautiful morning here in Pensacola, and preparations underway for that big move from Baptist Hospital, the Legacy Campus downtown, to the new facility on Brent Lane today. The hospital says they'll be moving all of their patients to the new campus tomorrow morning. All the patients will be transported by ambulance, and they'll have a police escort.
We've had our traffic unit in constant communication with the folks at Baptist. I know the Pensacola Police Department and the Sheriff's Office, they're both of our traffic units. We've actually practiced this. We've had tabletops on this, and it should go pretty much according to a plan.
That's Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. He says at least a dozen deputies will be on special duty tomorrow to help with that move. Investigators are still looking into how a three-year-old child was able to get a hold of a loaded gun and shoot themselves in the arm. Pensacola police say their investigators are now working with DCF to determine whether the parents will face charges related to the incident.
When you are raising a child, sooner or later, you can think to yourself, I had no idea that he or she was capable of opening a drawer now and picking up a weapon. And, you know, sometimes you just got to pay a little bit more attention, and accidents do happen. So whether it was negligence or an accident, that's what's under investigation now.
PPD spokesman Mike Wood, and he says it could have turned out worse, as there have been other cases here in our area where kids didn't survive their injuries. Wood does say it's important for parents to remember Florida law does require you to safely store a firearm where it's no danger to kids. If you do need a firearm lock, you can also get one of those for free from the Pensacola Police Department or the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Florida Senator Rick Scott says Democrats have been playing politics with America's Disaster Relief Fund. Scott says Democrats blocked a vote yesterday on his disaster relief bill, which would have replenished FEMA's disaster relief money.
Right now, this thing is getting low on funds. I checked on September 11th. It's down to $2.5 billion, and they project by the end of this month it'll be down to $550 million.
Scott says it's especially devastating for Florida's farmers who've been waiting now for over a year for aid. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city is still on track to purchase the Pensacola Motor Lodge this year. They want to convert it to affordable housing. He says they recently received the latest environmental report that confirmed it was free of asbestos.
We're still in due diligence at this point, but barring anything unforeseen with these final environmental tests, which, again, we don't expect anything. That was the big one. We were worried about some of the materials used to build and, old structures that we would proceed with the sale.
And the city offered to buy that property for $855,000 in June. Assuming all the reports come back clean, they're hoping to wrap up that purchase by mid-November. 534, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Today's weather looks fantastic, and there's very little chance for any rain to pop up around the area. High temperatures will mainly run in the mid to upper 80s. Lots of sunshine for us, and it's a beautiful weekend ahead. Plenty of sunshine all weekend long, all dry, no chance for rain this weekend. We might even see some slightly less humid air in the area. We can look forward to that. Hope you enjoy it. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News weather forecast.
And right now, 71 in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel, or Pep Talk. Then, join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News' Guy Benson takes over at 2. And Joe and Gracie wrap up your workday from 4 till 7. And then Dave Ramsey takes over. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast Coins.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Around 2 years ago, for any of you behind me who don't know, the DIB and the CRA, which are effectively extensions of City Council, used our tax dollars to pay for two police officers specifically tasked with harassing and ultimately arresting our unhoused community downtown. As Pensacola's wealthiest investors continue to populate our local leadership roles, their treatment of our unhoused communities continue to grow crueler and continue to receive more funding.
So, at the Pensacola City Council meeting, you had the socialists showed up. And, I mean, that's actually the name of the party that they described to, the Socialist People for Liberation and Workers' Equity or something. I don't remember the name, but it's something like that. I'm not describing anything that they wouldn't put on themselves. They just happen to be socialists. And that's fine. I don't mind socialists participating in government and having their say. They are citizens. They can express themselves, too. No problem. But in this case, they had come a lot to talk not just about housing, but about, you know, the cops and PPD and what they perceived to be, you know, misbehavior by the Pensacola Police Department. Now, to her credit, and I appreciated this, much later in the meeting after the open forum was over, you had City Councilwoman Jen Brayer say it kind of in defense of them.
I just have to say, after all the criticism earlier, I see our community police officer out there and I listen to his report every month, and I just hope that you recognize that we know better from what we were listening to, and we know how hard you work at forming those relationships and doing great by those people. So I just want to make a point of that, because I think that was some false info about what our officers are doing, and thank you.
And I'm glad somebody said that, but I also wanted to give Mike Wood a chance to respond, because yesterday we had him on to, you know, as we always do, talk about things related to the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Candy.
So, you know, charges that you guys are harassing the homeless, that you're overly enforcing things, the camping ordinance, just generally that the purpose of you is to serve the rich people downtown and to get the homeless out of the way, I think generally is the summarized gist of this. Your thoughts, your comment?
Yeah, you know, agendas are agendas, and I'm 100% confident that this individual has never walked with these officers that work downtown, who go out of their way to listen to the homeless in the area and find out how they got in that position, what they're needing, and how they can be helped to get back on their feet. Those officers do this each and every day. Some of these individuals do want help and go and take the help that the officers are offering. Others simply do not. And the ones that do not, then the officers are down there making sure they're okay. They're bringing them blankets when it gets very cold outside. They're offering them shelter when the weather gets bad. So, it's when I hear something like that, it's almost laughable because this person obviously does not know the police officers that work at the CRA.
And my understanding for the CRA cops was that this was basically because you have so much activity in that area, just, you know, having extra guys out on, not in a car, you know, out on patrol, able to respond quickly to things that happen. That's how I understood the role of the four CRA cops.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, regular patrol officers have to go from call to call. These officers are down there, again, concentrating on the specifics of the problems downtown, and the homeless is part of that.
Sure.
And they're trying their best to get to know each and every one of them and to offer them help.
One of the things that we had just this week is at Workman, we had this a shooting that was outside the school while there was a basketball game. You had one victim with not life-threatening injuries, I understand. And it was cops from inside the school who were working at the gym, I guess, were the ones who responded first, right?
Yeah, they were notified that there were shots fired outside. They immediately left the gym, went outside to investigate, and found a male that had been shot, I believe it was twice. Fortunately for him, the gunshot wounds are not life-threatening, and we understand the shot came from a vehicle. and hit the individual who was a pedestrian. So we're glad that it had nothing to do with the students inside. It did not happen inside the school. It happened actually on Langley Avenue. So, yeah, it could have been much worse. I know when I got the phone call, the first thing that came to my mind was start messaging immediately because parents are going to want to know.
Right.
And so we started messaging out on tweets, or, well, it's X now. I'm not sure what you call a tweet on X.
It's the social media network owned by Elon Musk. That's what we're calling it.
Yeah. So I guess it's still tweets. Anyway, we wanted to get the message out as quickly as we could to parents that everyone inside the school was okay and where the reunification spot was, which was Washington High School.
Right. And I mean, you were quick to that, and then we put it online, and WER put it online, and, they try to get that message out as quickly as possible. I appreciate that. But it looks like it was completely unconnected. It just happened to be in proximity. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
All right. Very good. We had a obviously another story that made a lot of news was a 3-year-old who found a gun, and apparently it was loaded and chambered and ready, and wound up shooting, I don't know, him or herself. We probably don't release because it's a pediatric case, but tell me what happened here, and I don't know the outcome of it all. What's going to happen to the parents?
Well, you got it. The 3-year-old found the weapon and discharged it and was shot in the arm. And we're very, again, that could have been much worse. We've seen things happen in our area before where the child was not so fortunate. So now the investigation is focusing on how the child got their hands on this weapon. And, there were adults in the home. But we work with DCF, the Department of Children and Families, to do a thorough investigation to see if there was any negligence involved. Sometimes there is, and sometimes there just isn't. When you are raising a child, sooner or later, you can think to yourself, I had no idea that he or she was capable of opening a drawer now and picking up a weapon. And, sometimes you just got to pay a little bit more attention, and accidents do happen. So whether it was negligence or an accident, that's what's under investigation now.
But it is worth mentioning for people who might not be aware that Florida has, you correct me if I'm wrong, but Florida has some pretty stiff, protect the kids from a loaded gun laws that you are obligated to have them in safe storage. Now, I have philosophical objections to those laws because I get where they're coming from, but, the way you have a gun in the house is, you got to have it stored and, basically loaded and available, because in the middle of the night, the would-be assailant is not going to stop for you to unlock and load, all of these things. But the law does say that you are required to protect kids from loaded guns, right?
Yes, it does. So, again, that's what the investigation is focusing on, and I don't want to get too far ahead of it.
Sure.
Once that's complete, we'll let you know. But right now, again, it's still under investigation with us and the DCF.
Obviously, we have the big move for Baptist Hospital coming up on Saturday. We've been talking about this a lot. I want to make sure people know that the ER at the Moreno Street closes at 3 a.m. and the Brent Lane one opens at 3 a.m., that's the transition time. Then there's going to be this day-long process of moving people over. I assume you guys are going to be involved in this and have been coordinating with Baptist, sheriffs, EMS, everybody.
Yes, all of the above. So intersections are going to be held on the route between the Legacy Baptist and the new one. The officers are going to make sure the light is green for the ambulances that are going through to make the transition quicker. And, they will quickly route or get traffic moving again as fast as they can once that's going on. This is going to happen early in the morning or during the day, and it's on a Saturday, so traffic won't be as heavy as it would be during a weekday. So they're going to get it done as quickly as they can, and if you're held up by this, it should not be for very long at all.
What is that route? Can you say what that route is? I'm guessing it's going to be what, like Pace to Palafox to Brent? Is that the route?
Well, I'm not sure,
okay.
Andrew. It could be Cervantes to the interstate to Brent. I'm not sure on the route, but I do know that intersections and lights will be held for those ambulances so they can make the trip quicker.
Okay, so just if you see stuff going on Saturday, just don't be surprised by it. It's going to be obviously a very big, massive logistical operation. All right, maybe more of the fun part of the show. We had talked earlier about this. Let's just say drunk stripper who was arrested for DUI in Ohio And, you know, I just want to give you a little sample of some of the audio here.
Okay. Get your leg in the car.
Listen, handsome man.
So she announces
that works in my club because I'm a stripper.
Sure enough, sure enough. And she's being super friendly because she's she gets arrested and she's soiled herself and wants to disrobe.
Can I take it off?
No, leave it on. In
my hand.
Leave it on. Grace, just stop.
Yeah, and at one point, you know, she says,
taste me?
No.
Do it.
Stay in the blue box.
I like it kinky.
And offers that he can touch her. And so a lot of things are going on in this. And I think my very favorite comment was from the officer when sort of towards the end, he just finally says the giant sigh. Okay, so our suspicion is that this is not a rare occurrence, that young, drunk women and perhaps drunk men, but that this is not rare, that this is just the kind of thing that police deal with on the regular. Mike, routine or rare? What do you think?
It's rare, but it does happen. I remember a field training officer when I was a rookie telling me these sorts of things are going to happen, especially when, you know, with speeding tickets and things like that. But he also told me there's not a young lady out there worth losing your badge over, so you need to focus on your job and do your job. And then you know, I can't speak for every police officer, but to me personally, having one a young lady try to manipulate my decision based on her herself like that is almost insulting. She's liable to get a ticket faster than anybody else.
Very good. Manipulate your decision. Okay, so
I learned my lesson.
I know, right? That's exactly. Fine. No, and but one thing, and you know, this case, at least she was wearing clothes. You all have to deal with people who aren't always right.
Yeah, that's true, and that's sort of when your raincoat in your car comes in handy. If you're going to have to wrestle one to the ground and put them in handcuffs, you need to be able to cover them up out in public. And that's, I can tell you, the raincoat's been used for that more than once.
I will,
because that's about all you have to cover them up.
Note to self: never accept Mike Wood's generous offer of a raincoat if he gives you one. All right, fair enough. A raincoat has been some places. You have a cop myth for us? We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know?
Yeah, and it's that the police departments or law enforcement agencies are very secretive. They like to withhold information from the public, and that's true and false, mostly false. I mean, we do things like the Citizens Police Academy. We've done ride-alongs. We're very open and transparent about what we do, but when we do have to keep information from the public, it's mostly temporary, and it's to keep the public safe, it's to keep officers safe, and it's to make sure we don't jeopardize an ongoing investigation. And once that investigation is over with, especially when it goes to court, everything is public record. Everything's going to come out. And so being secret is sometimes that happens. It's temporary, there's a need for it. But most of the time, we're going to be very transparent. And my job is to communicate with the public and make sure they know exactly what we're doing. And I give as much as I possibly can every day.
You know, this is just another way that media lies about you, and particularly TV and movies lies about cops, because that idea of keeping information from the public is clearly one of the longstanding themes of what you see in what I would say is more recent, not necessarily like Dragnet era, but, you know, more recent stuff. Was it ever really a problem where you had, you know, police agencies found themselves trying to keep stuff from the public, or has it always been? I definitely know these days, you know, you all are very transparent and police agencies around the country are transparent. But was there ever a cultural time, I don't know, 20 years ago when it was less transparent, in your opinion?
Yes. I mean, I started 37 years ago, and I remember comments like, it's under investigation, we're not telling them anything. That did happen, but that's changed. You simply cannot do that anymore. You can't withhold the information, again, unless it's going to jeopardize the investigation or put someone in danger, but simply because of social media rumors. Those can get out of hand quickly, and it's very difficult to catch up and put the truth out there once. I've said this 100 times before, a lie can travel the world 6 times before the truth has a chance to get its pants on. So
right.
That's why we have to be transparent, and that's why we have to tell people what's going on.
And I know, you know, we've talked about this before, but I just want to mention it one more time, is I respect the job that you guys have to do as a news person. I want to know, and I want to tell people what they want to know, but I always figure that, look, you know, if my news reporting interferes with you protecting people and solving crimes and preventing, you know, evil, then I'm not serving the community. And so if you tell me, you know, Andrew can't tell you yet, I figure, okay, You know, we'll find out when we need to know, because the last thing I would ever want to do is have, you know, my eagerness to find out the truth of a story get in the way of solving a crime or, you know, help somebody to get away or anything like that. So I appreciate you reminding us about the information and the way it flows these days. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thanks for what you do and keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
Nudge. Thank you.
551 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yeah, I actually take that concept pretty seriously. I think that, you know, news media is supposed to serve the community, right? And so if, you know, sometimes in the news we kind of get obsessed with knowing things and telling things. Sometimes the way you serve the community is by not saying stuff. I mean, that's, you know, and that's just, there's a lot of things that, you know, we know that we don't say. Why? Well, because, you know, sometimes you can really interfere with, for example, the military mission or, you know, the mission of the police or whatever. You say, Andrew, that's not your job. No, I think it is. You know, I think it is. Just because you know it doesn't mean you should always say it. The value of free speech and the importance of free speech is best shown by when you decline to use it. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a import like a Porsche, a Mercedes, a BMW, Genesis, Jaguar, a Lexus, these are nice cars. You pay a little extra, get them. You might think you have to pay extra when you take it to the dealership, especially if that dealership is, you know, across the water in Mobile and you got to cross the Bayway and all the fun that that is. No, you don't have to. You can take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on these vehicles all the time. Save the travel time, save the inconvenience, save the cost, okay, both of the travel and of the service. And Bobby Likas will take care of your car. If you've got a diesel engine, that's just a little different than the gas engines, and they work on those too. No problem. You might have thought you have to take that car or truck into the dealership. You don't. If you've got a, you know, gas-powered, American-made, they work on those too. It's, you know, they work on anything, okay? And the philosophy is they want to see you often for small things, the preventative, routine, scheduled maintenance, because if you maintain the car properly, you can avoid a lot of those big catastrophic, oh, was I supposed to keep that up? Yes. But if you go regularly, you don't have to worry about that stuff. So bring it to them healthy so you don't have to bring it to them broken. CarClinicService.com is the website, or just stop by at Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Today at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. At Anderson, we know Subarus are built better, and we're not the only ones who think so. Subarus earn more IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus awards than Honda, Toyota, or Hyundai brands since 2013 as of July 2023. When it comes to safety, Subarus are better. And when it comes to longevity, well, Subaru wins there too. According to a study by Experian Automotive, Subaru leads the industry in longevity with 96% of vehicles sold in the last 10 years still on the road today. More than Honda or Toyota brands. Hands down, Subaru has the longest lasting vehicles in the automotive industry, all of which makes it easy to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Visit us on Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola, or shop us online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Based on Experian Automotive non-luxury vehicles in operation excluding trucks and vans versus total new registrations for model years 2013 through 2022 as of December 2022.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Deep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson
goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Punch! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone! Picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie. On at 4 right after Guy Benson. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What is that?
It's an Oldsmobile Silhouette.
I ordered a Cadillac.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a Cadillac of minivans.
Are you kidding me?
Is one of my favorite characters. That's the most Travolta character, maybe, of all time, other than Vinnie Barbarino. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Parts of the East Coast will have a tropical storm warning over the weekend. The National Hurricane Center issued that warning from Wilmington, North Carolina, to the Maryland-Delaware state line. More layoffs in the auto manufacturing industry. This comes as talks continue between the UAW and Big Three automakers. The strike deadline has been set by the union for noon today. The UAW president Sean Fain has said more local union chapters could join in on the strike if talks haven't progressed. And yesterday we learned that a UAW chapter in Alabama had joined the strike.
Can I ask you a question, David?
Yeah.
You might know the answer to this. Isn't Sinn Fein like a terrorist organization in, I want to say it's like Ireland or something. Isn't that right? Because Sean Fein, every time you say it in my brain, I'm like, that sounds like, and I just looked up, yeah, it's an Irish Republican Democrat Socialist Party in both the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, and
I was going to say, it sounds familiar, but I couldn't place in my head what they were known for.
So, yeah, so every time you say Sean Fein, I'm thinking,
If you ask the Big Three automakers, they might think he's a terrorist. I suppose.
Yeah, they were active in the War of Independence associated with the IRA. And I had that right. Okay. All right. Sorry to interrupt you. Just every time it happens, I think this, and then I never bring it up.
Right. I know how that goes. And 17 writers, including Game of Thrones author George R.R. Martin, are now suing OpenAI and ChatGPT for unlawfully copying their works. That lawsuit was filed in a federal court in Manhattan. They're alleging damaging infringement to their registered copyrights. OpenAI says they respect the rights of writers and says that they should benefit from AI technology.
Can I tell you just a quick AI story? I ran into this yesterday. It's not on that theme, but it just has to do with AI.
Please.
There's somebody had asked ChatGPT to write a fake Bible verse endorsing transgenderism.
Yes.
Okay.
And it did. It wrote one in the style of the Bible that's very, this is good. There's no gender. Then, of course, people were pointing out that, that's not what the Bible exactly says. Although the Bible does have interesting things to say about gender. And even, for example, one of the first people who was evangelized after the ascension of Jesus was a eunuch. An Ethiopian eunuch, somebody who would have been an outcast in Bible times, and this was, I think, the God's way of saying, no, everybody's welcome in the kingdom, even if they've got stuff, because everybody's got stuff. Anyway.
Or not if you're a eunuch.
Nicely done. So I thought it was interesting, though. And then so I went to ChatGPT, and I asked ChatGPT to write me, a Bible verse in favor of stealing, and it told me it wouldn't because it doesn't write things in favor of immoral or dangerous. I asked it for stealing and adultery. Same response. Eventually, it said basically, I know you're looking for creative content here, but I'm not authorized to write things that might end up harming people or violent. I'm like,
shut down.
You told me no? How dare you tell me no? I wanted to make a fake Bible verse too.